It is said when the Buddha achieved his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree that he made his way to a nearby village. And there, the people could tell that there was something different about this man. "Are you a spirit person?" "No," the Buddha replied. "Are you a magician?" "No," the Buddha replied. "Are you an angel?" the Buddha was asked. "No." And the Buddha replied quite simply, "I am awake. I am awake." And in talking about this idea of humble enlightenment today, I use this story of the Buddha to define that enlightenment might be expressed as those moments in which we are awake. That enlightenment doesn't really mean some state of permanent self-realization or some type of spiritual superpower or some spiritual know-how that somehow puts us above everybody else. That enlightenment is something available to each and every one of us who are willing to be humble with reverence in the present moment. That enlightenment is something that you can grasp and I can grasp right here and right now with humble reverence. The meaning of the connections that I share with people that I love and care about. The miracle of breath. The ability to be alive on this day in 2023. There is so much that a humble reverence can help us to see and to cultivate that enlightenment, which is simply being aware of the miracle of life expressing itself, and to know that we, you and me, are a part of that miracle of life. You know, Alan Watts said of Jesus and Christianity that the biggest problem was that we kicked Jesus upstairs, that we made a mistake when we made Jesus the boss's son. Not to say that Jesus isn't the Son of God, but I hope you get what I mean. There's this tendency to take spiritual teachers like Jesus and like the Buddha who say, "What I have done, you can do too. What's in me, you can realize as well." But we have this tendency of wanting to put them on a pedestal, to make them so special. And we might say that's to honor them, but perhaps the shadow side of that is it's so that we don't have to take the responsibility to be like they were, to step into being the loving, forgiving, compassionate characters that they were in their life as well. And so humble enlightenment is about humble reverence, and it's also about what I want to call humble response. That enlightenment to me isn't so much a first cause, this just nature of who we are that we bring to whatever we're doing. It's often how we respond to what's taking place in our lives. And I think this is reflected in the stories of both Jesus and the Buddha. The Buddha story, for me, I can't help but relate to it as a story about parenthood. It's really a story about Siddhartha's father, a king, who wants to protect his child, Prince Siddhartha, from suffering in the world. And as a dad, boy, do I resonate with that. This deep desire to want to keep my child from seeing or experiencing the suffering of the world. And part of the Buddha's story is the futility of that. What makes Siddhartha's story interesting is that his dad, as a king, actually has the means to try. He really keeps his son protected within the kingdom and orders that he doesn't see anything bad. And so young Siddhartha eventually, of course, he gets out of the kingdom and out in the streets and with the people, and he sees someone who's mugged. He sees someone who's sick. He sees someone who's dying. In other words, he sees suffering, and it begins to cultivate this feeling, this awkward feeling he can't articulate within him that is coming up from seeing the suffering in the world. And this feeling is so strong and so unknown to him that he actually commits himself to enlightenment. he commits himself to exploring every spiritual tradition there is to try and figure out what this feeling is within him, and it doesn't work. You know, he tries the asceticism. He tries many types of Hinduism. If he was in today's world, we would say he's trying Mormonism and Scientology and Nexium and whatever it is, the long list, even religious science, and he still can't put words to this feeling that this suffering evokes within him. And so one day he sits under this tree known as a Bodhi tree, and he says, I ain't leaving. I'm not leaving until I can articulate this feeling. And he encounters, similar to the temptation of Christ, a being called Mara, who tests him with all the illusions of the world, trying to get him to move away from this feeling. And eventually, his enlightenment comes, and he knows what this feeling is, this response to suffering that has been cultivated and inspired in his heart. And what is it? Compassion. What is enlightenment? Enlightenment is responding to the suffering of the world, the suffering of our loved ones, our own suffering, with compassion. And when you do that, you're practicing enlightenment. Jesus, in his story, has this powerful experience of becoming enlightened, we might say, when he's baptized by John. He's dipped under the water, and the enlightenment happens when he hears the voice of God in his own heart say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And for me, that voice of God isn't something that just appeared in Jesus' heart. It's a voice that appears to all of our hearts when we have a spiritual rebirth, when we open up to experiencing the divine, and it says in us, you are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. The thing that's unique is now we have to go about living the rest of our lives. What does it mean to know that God loves me, to know that I love God, and to live a life of love? And that's so much the path of Jesus. He begins exploring that. He begins teaching what it means to practice the unconditional love of God. And we say that the story of Jesus is the story of the Messiah. But for me, another way of seeing the story is it's a story about a man really coming to understand God's love through the experience of constant and consistent rejection. Jesus, over and over again, is rejected. At one point, he's performing miracles in a crowd, and someone in the crowd saying, isn't that Jesus? Isn't that Mary and Joseph's son, the carpenter? And they kind of laugh at him. And there's even members of his family there that are laughing too. And even Jesus can't perform miracles there that day. And he talks about how a prophet can't be accepted in his own hometown. So he experiences, Jesus, the rejection of his family, the rejection of his community. He experiences the rejection of his fellow rabbis within his Jewish faith, the Orthodox legalists. He experiences rejection by his own disciples and the people who are following him. He experiences rejection by society and by the Roman authorities. And even when he's being murdered on the cross, he questions if he's being rejected by God. God, have you forsaken me? And he also says, in his ultimate realization of what it means to live at one with the love of God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So not only for Jesus is it this awareness of God in his heart and what it means to practice God's love, but it's through this response of rejection and suffering, of forgiveness, that he achieves his ultimate enlightenment, which in the Bible, of course, is called resurrection. The Buddha has his cross of the Bodhi tree, and Jesus experiences his Bodhi tree as the cross. And yet, when we look at these two terms, compassion, forgiveness, is there really a huge difference between them? I don't think that there is. Humble enlightenment is responding to the challenges of our life and the suffering of the world with compassion and forgiveness. If you do that, enlightenment is yours. Lastly, humble enlightenment is about service. It's about helping other people. I'm never enlightened on my own, but when I get to love somebody or help them see a part of themselves they've been blind to, or I know I've been a part of their success in some small way, oh, that's enlightenment to me. I am so grateful. Martin Luther King Jr. said of Jesus that he gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be special, wonderful. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But if you truly want to be great, whoever is among you, you will be their servant. Whoever is among you, you will be their servant. No, not their slave, but you will put them first. You will seek to support them. You will seek to love them. And similar to the Bodhisattva who delays their own nirvana or enlightenment in order to serve other people, to help them, we begin to realize that enlightenment isn't crossing some threshold into full self-actualization. It's helping other people to experience that moment-to-moment enlightenment now. And if I've helped you do that in some way, all right, enlightenment for me, but I know for you too. Thanks for your time.